Hello and welcome to the NFL Podcast. I'm Aeneas Williams. Today we will talk with the Youth Football Committee, whose mission is to help guide efforts to preserve and grow youth in high school football from a peer-to-peer perspective through their expertise and experience as former NFL players and legends. We have with us four incredible NFL legends. Jaguars legend Mark Brunell, 19-year veteran. Three-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion. That's awesome. Should we all bow down before we go?
Stop Aeneas.
And then we have James Chad Pennington. I said James. That's right. Who's he? That's the great
call me Chad.
Chad Pennington, an 11-year veteran and two-time NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And Michael Robinson, an 8-year veteran, Super Bowl champion, and on-air anchor. And finally, Willie McGinnis, one of the biggest men I've been around. The great USC man, a 15-year vet, two-time Pro Bowler, three-time Super Bowl champion. Fellas, welcome to the show. So let's take a trip back down memory lane. The good old days. What is your favorite youth football memory, Mark?
My favorite youth football memory was when I was in eighth grade. It was the first year I actually got to play quarterback. And the only reason I got to play quarterback was because my dad was the coach.
Daddy
it's
ball
true. Well, one of those dads, man.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, he knew me better than any of the other coaches, obviously. He was my old man. But he knew I could throw, and I think part of him, too, you know, wanted to have, you know, his son be the quarterback. But up to that point, I was an outside linebacker. I was a fullback. I just really hadn't played quarterback. And it was the first time that my dad had ever coached me. I just never forgot that. It was an important year, a memorable year, because in that environment, we got to connect. He was my coach. I was his player. We got to spend a lot of time together, won some games. But when I think of youth football, I think of the first opportunity I had with my dad as my coach. It's just a little different dynamic, but I thought it was pretty cool. And from that point on, he continued to be my coach all through high school. It's the very reason that I coach, because of the impression and the influence that they had on me as a young person.
Wow. What about you, Chad?
Well, I, like Mark, am a son of a high school football coach. I grew up on a Friday night bus. My heroes growing up were my dad's high school football players. And so my favorite youth football memories would be centered around when the high school coaches would come watch us play on Saturday at our youth football
That's
games.
Awesome.
Because they were our heroes. That's where we were trying to get to, is be like
fetus,
those high school.
So this is a quasi-fetus system.
Absolutely. And so just having those memories of preparing for the game on a Saturday and seeing your high school coaches in your community there on the sideline interested in what you're doing, it just brought a different level of excitement. It made the game more exciting, more important. Like Mark, you know, that's those impressions that the game of football made on me early, and those experiences I had, whether it be playing youth football or riding that Friday night bus and being part of that experience, completely shaped my whole childhood.
What about you, Michael?
Yeah, man. I got a lot of little league football moments that helped shape my life. I wish I could have had the experience that you guys had with my dad being there showing me the game or whatever, but he just wasn't around. He was affected by the crack epidemic of the 80s, so he just wasn't around. My biggest football moment was, you know, other men being able to teach me the game of football and life lessons. I had a coach when I was 12 years old. I was playing quarterback, talking in the huddle, and he noticed something that I didn't notice. He noticed that when I started to speak, people shut the hell up, you know what I mean, and listened and, like, did what I said. And I remember one day he pulled me to the side and he said, look, you're going to, you know, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to really understand the power of your words. And that was the first time I even thought about the power of words, because you grew up on sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
Right.
Right. And so I just didn't, I didn't think of the power of words until then. And he said, dude, there's a tremendous amount of responsibility that you're going to have, you know, because people listen to you. You're going to be charged with the responsibility of making sure that the seeds that you put into people's minds are good seeds, not bad seeds. And that stayed with me throughout my entire life. That's why I'm in the capacity that I am now with the NFL Network. It's all about communicating and making sure that the word gets through to the people that need to hear it.
Wow. Willie.
I think what's important about me in football is my father was incarcerated when I was extremely small, so my mom was the one who took me. And I came up in a crazy environment like most kids, and to steer me in the right direction, to make sure I stay focused and out of trouble and off the streets, I started baseball. My very first sport was baseball. But she needed something else to teach the discipline, to have other men around, to put me in an environment with other boys, and to keep me off the streets. So my mom was the one who dragged me down, I think I was six or seven, and signed me up for football. First year, really didn't like it, but I loved being around the other boys. And playing the sport wasn't really that good. I was learning. My second year, I played every position. I was like one of the best guys in the city at youth in my second year, just because how it affected me my first year. Right. And how I wanted so bad to be like the other kids and how good they were. I spent the whole offseason learning and training and trying to get better. So when I came back, it was the best thing in the world to me. And ever since then, the age of seven, I've been a part of football. Football has been a part of my life since that very day. And instrumental in shaping and forming and teaching and providing a lifestyle and all those different things. And I'm 47 now. So 40 years in the game, football has been in my life for 40 years pretty much.
For you, all of a sudden, mom had a place where it would occupy your time. And all of a sudden, dad, you're connecting with your dad. All of a sudden, you find out that you're a leader. That's youth football. That's what we're talking about, man. So I appreciate being here with you guys. Why is it so important to get involved and become the voices of growing and innovating youth football, Willie?
I mean, I think the message has always been to protect, you know, not only the game, but our players, and to help grow the game. And I think when you talk about growing the game and teaching the game, if you started at a young age and you play 15 years and you don't have the right guidance or the right coaching, or you're not teaching, being taught the game the right way, whether it's verbally or technique, physically wise, you go into the league and now you're getting penalized or scrutinized for playing the game the wrong way. And they're trying to change you after playing it for so long. So I think all of us, one thing we all have in common is we're all in that space where we're all around and working with young men or kids for that matter. For me, it starts at 5 and 6, you know, and it goes all the way up to the NFL. So if we're talking about changing the game, I've been beating the table with Troy for I don't know how many years now, and it's finally happened, about 4 years, that we need to change the game from the grassroots.
Got it.
And that starts with the young kids in high school and instilling the certain values and things inside of them. And them, as they go along, they constantly learn more technique and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, once they get to the NFL, we got a somewhat finished product.
Yeah, Chad, and you as working with high school football and dealing with youth, how would, if a program wanted to learn the right way of football, how could they, through this counseling, maybe that's what we're coming up with as we move forward, how could they get the right information in order to learn how to do it?
Well, I think that's the goal of our committee. When we look at the space of youth football and high school football, as well as the game itself, we're cannibalizing each other. And we're not aligning to where a youth park or a youth league can actually go find those necessary resources to teach it, coach it, and prepare it the right way. Willie's right. The health of our game lies within the grassroots, youth sport, youth football, and high school. The standard and the message must come from the top, which is the NFL. And if we can align those two, everyone else falls in between the bottom and the top, start speaking the same messages, start communicating the same way, start using the same lingo, teaching the right techniques. Now, your youth park will have those resources necessary and available to them, because quite frankly, most of our youth coaches are going to be passionate dads. They're going to be guys who don't have the experiences we have, but if we can lend our voices and lend our messaging, they can tap into that experience to become better coaches. Friday Night Tykes is a caricature of football. It's not the game of football.
Gotcha.
That's a lie. It's mm-hmm. false. But the things within our game is what matters, and we can make sure we communicate that correctly.
Well, and I would love to second what both of these gentlemen said. They both used the term grassroots. I would probably say source. Little League football is the source of our game, guys. That's where we fall in love with the game. That's where parents fall in love with the game. That's where they become consumers of our game. And when you look at the statistics, it's a 1.6 chance that this young person, this 7-year-old kid, will have an opportunity to play in this league. 1.6. It's like 2.4 to go to a D1 school. So if we have this data saying the statistics say this, what are we doing this for? It's almost a guarantee that you won't make it, right? So the reason why I wanted to get involved, again, along with what you guys said, I agree with everything, is to teach life skills through the game of sport, through the game of football. The greatest invention was the huddle, man. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're from. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic background.
I like that.
Doesn't matter your race. It's all about coming together for this goal. I don't care what music you listen to. I don't care what you believe in. Let's just go. Being able to, positively affect coaches around the country with resources so that they know how to play the game correctly and know how to teach the game correctly. Like, right. For instance, and I've told these guys this, 3-deep defense, quarterback, 10-year-old recognizes the 3-deep defense, notices the flat defender, one's a safety, one's a linebacker. He throws at the linebacker because the linebacker has tight hips and he's less athletic. Yeah. Well, somebody at Google gets paid 6 figures for 30 years to code. And that's exactly what that kid was doing, but nobody teaches us the language. But the brain process is the same. You know, a company I'm involved with got an ex-football player a job with Amazon Securities based off of those tests we gave him. When I hear people tell us, and when I retired, I heard, you know, as I was going to interviews with networks and hedge fund companies and this, that, and the third, oh, you just played a game. Well, if I miss my block 2 or 3 times, dude, I'm not eating anymore. There's no other pressure bigger than that. You know, I run youth football in the state of Virginia. When they get to the age of 14, they're done with us. They go on to high school. But if a kid at the age of 14 knows what he's good at or has an idea of what he's good at, oh, what an advantage you give that kid.
Mark, how important is it for legends? Legends should, they know the right way, or should.
Should.
Right? How important it is for legends. How important it is for legends to get involved with some of these youth opportunities?
Well, it's important because legends do have the experience. They have an appreciation for the game. Most, I would say. They have a platform. They will be listened to. But just because a guy played the game doesn't necessarily mean he will translate into a good coach. Just because you played it doesn't mean you can teach it. A coach is a teacher. I've heard it said that coaches don't only teach what they know, they teach who they are. It's equipping the coaches, obviously, with the proper way to teach the fundamentals and the right techniques. But if you don't only teach what you know, but you teach who you are, there's some coaches out there that really shouldn't be starting camps or starting leagues. And we probably growing up had some of those guys, you know? And we survived it. We did fine. But I don't want my boy in that environment. So there needs to be an element of this where it's not just about football and teaching football. We need good men around our players.
Sure. The old school, lining up 20 yards from each other, just hitting each other. How could we now educate that old school coach? What are some innovative ways within drills, techniques, to gain toughness without the stuff that's now all outlawed?
What do you deem tough, though, when you're talking about a 5 or 6-year-old kid?
No, I agree with you. That's the mentality change, right?
Or 7 and 8.
The fact that the kid is out there shows a level of toughness.
No question. Correct.
You see what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times we just discount that. You know, I go sometimes to our practice and you see these coaches doing bull in the ring, which, again, we grew up on that. But you see them doing it and you ask why. Well, I'm trying to get him tough. He showed up.
Correct. Great point.
You know what I mean? I want to see him tackle. You got to hit. Well, did you show him how to tackle?
Correct.
I know for me, the way we handle it in the state of Virginia with our league, it's very hard to manage. We're 501c3. It's very hard to manage mandating certain things. But what we do is we get USA Football certified. We put on our own coaches clinic. They have to show our league. They have to show certain acumens so that they can be certified to be on the field. And I think a lot of times it goes down to the people who run these leagues. Just make your guys have to do certain things. I've heard the stories of Willie making guys go up to the board. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if you can't show me, you can't coach here. I'm sorry. And that should be the standard. We got to stop playing with our babies' lives and futures.
Willie's right. We're not going to be able to control every aspect and mandate everything. But there is power in numbers. And the more numbers we get and people doing it the right way, and we live in an information age, and these parents will find through the information that they sift through, who are the right organizations, who are the right people doing it the right way to take care of my son.
That piggyback on that, Chet, with the product of youth football and the sport at the youth level under so much scrutiny in terms of it being afraid for their son to
number
play.
One concussion sport in youth and youth is girls soccer.
Mm-hmm. Right. What do you have to say to parents who are on the fence about letting their kids play? Mark?
I would say that, yes, there's a risk to playing football, as there is a risk to playing girls soccer or any sport. But youth football in the right environment with the right people and the right equipment, the right coaching, it's worth the risk. And that's where I would tell my story. This is what the game taught me. I certainly wouldn't be here if there wasn't a coach in my past when I was young that shaped me, that was my mentor, that inspired me, challenged me, made me better, and through the process of youth and high school football, taught me not just the game, but about life. We can go on. The value of hard work, the value of teamwork, overcoming adversity, locking arms with your brothers, fighting through things. Guess what? I've used all of those after I got done playing football.
Right.
But I learned it there. You go through tough times, how do you do it? You know what? Well, you've got to have a huddle. You've got to lock arms with those guys, and you need good people around you to succeed and battle through something.
The game of football should be it's a skill identifier. What other mechanism in a lot of these young people's lives that they're going to get the adversity, they're going to get the quick thinking, they're going to get the teamwork, they're going to get the cooperation, they're going to get all of these life skills that make you successful in life? What other vehicle do you have? Other than team sports, and to me, this is the best team sport in football because we're all a part of the team of the human race. We all have to have our roles and for the human race to be successful. It's all about getting the sustainable skills that make a person successful in life. You pull that out of this sport, and to me, the decision is easy after that.
Yeah, I agree with Michael, and the term that I use, whether it be in middle school coaching or high school coaching with my parents, is it's the outdoor classroom. Mm. The educational process does not stop at 3:30 once they leave the classroom.
I'm going to use that, dog. I'm
right there. Repeat that again, Chad.
Damn, that's good.
Repeat that again.
Yes, sir. Our football program is the outdoor classroom because we're going to actually allow our student athletes to apply what they've learned in the classroom and to learn what courage is, to learn what resilience is, to learn what teamwork is, to code. All of those different things. And when we apply an academic thought process to it, I think it speaks more to our moms and our dads saying, I'm part of, and our program is part of the developmental process. We're developing the whole child, and we're using the game of football as a platform to do that.
I'm sitting here, I'm hearing Coach Belichick, and I've never been coached by him. But I've talked to you guys so much, but I'm told Coach Belichick finds the player and puts players in positions to do what they do best. Talk about that, Willie. And how could that relate to a coach getting that kid out who may be the old little kid, chubby kid, but find something he does well and nurture him in that aspect. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think all kids are on different levels, right?
Right.
And the one thing I think Belichick does a great job of that our young coaches need to do a good job of is, okay, you may not be a great puller or you may not be a great this, but okay, we got plays for you. You may be a great run blocking offensive lineman, right? So if we put in packages for these kids to be like, you're gonna go in there, you're gonna da 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 da, this is your time to shine. You pump them up in different ways, but you give them roles. And I think Belichick is the best at that. We had guys that can do everything, but if you look at the teams constructed from the players fourth to sixth rounders, where you pretty much what those teams are, even today. Four through six, those are the picks. So he goes in and he says that we put more emphasis on the back half of the draft than the first half because we already know pretty much where those guys' skill set and what they can do. But there's guys that are special that may not do everything right, but they do something damn well, right? Slater.
Sure.
Didn't know if he was a receiver or a DB. They couldn't figure it out. But they knew he was a great athlete and he could help the team in a certain capacity. He's been in a Pro Bowl 7 straight or 8 straight years, whatever it is. So I think instead of downing these players and pushing them away because they don't have everything that this one kid may have, figure out what he really does well. Like the O-line, these young kids, right? They don't get no notoriety at youth football. Pancakes. Like, we'll be like, who's having pancakes this morning? We bringing in IHOP because y'all are the pancake crew. This offensive line, you guys are the pancake crew. You guys had 10 pancakes in the game. So you make them feel special. So they walking around like now, like, yeah, we the pancake crew. You're just giving them confidence.
But you know what he's demonstrating? That's what a great teacher is. I hate when I hear people, teachers, coaches, whatever, say, oh, I can't coach that guy. I can't get through to him. You can get through to anybody. It's on the teacher to figure out the vehicle to make sure that the person gets the information.
How important, I'm listening to you, Willie, you mentioned a pancake. How important for those legends of those that know the game, those coaches, to connect history up with the current player? Because as soon as you mentioned pancake, first person I thought about was Orlando Pace.
Right.
So now when I teach that youth, I said, hey, you talking about pancakes? Hey, man, there was a guy named Orlando Pace. He coined his whole mantra, pancaking, finish a guy off. How important it is to communicate some form of history, not in a boring way, but in, I would say, an organically incorporating way, like you just talked about.
Well, those youth kids, history. Their history now is guys that they see in the league. Like, they wouldn't know Singletary and some of the older players, and some of the kids who are really, really into it, they go back and they watch YouTube now. They can pull up. A lot of kids do that with me.
Same here.
They're like, hey.
They're like, yeah.
They was like,
who are you?
When they did the football life, they was like, coach, I didn't know you.
Right.
I didn't know you played like, what you thought I was a bum? You know what I mean? What you thought
exactly.
I could? You thought what I was telling you, I didn't go through myself or I didn't understand. I always tell the kids, there's nothing I'm gonna tell you to do or ask you to do that I don't know or haven't been through myself or seen somebody go through it.
Gotcha.
But that's how they know. Now they see me, like, differently.
Right.
New kid, come on, I don't really know. Wow, are you telling me this? Pull him up. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Now I'm open.
Street cred.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Now
it
I'm
is.
Open.
Yeah.
Now I'm listening.
The kids we're coaching, who they're looking up to, obviously it's not Singletary or guys in the past, it's the current players.
I mean, you know?
Their
dads
so what we want to do is, like, I've got 50 kids in my program, 9th through 12th graders. I'm telling them all the time, get in the weight room, get in the weight room. And they're like, oh, yeah, coach, you know, just like a parent or something. But if I get Nick Foles on a 30-second clip that I could send to my players, and it's Nick Foles saying, hey, you guys, listen to Coach Brown, you guys need to be in the weight room. My experience is when I was your age, boy, I really pressed in and worked hard and all that stuff. Boom, you got it, you know? And so that's one of the things we want to do right now, and the purpose of being here at the owners' meeting is engaging with the current players, the current coaches, and getting some messaging out because that's who they're listening to right now.
The next 10 years, and any of you guys can speak to this, where do you see youth football?
If youth football in the next 10 years isn't better, and we probably all could define that differently, as far as the quality of the coaching that they're getting, the quality of the equipment that they have, if there's not better coaches of the game as far as how they coach and who they are, then this group hasn't done their job. I got 50 kids that I coach. None of them jokers are playing, getting D1
right.
or going to the pros. None of them. And really only about 6 or 7 of those 50 are going to help me on Friday nights. But there's 43, 44 kids that really are just as important as the 6 or 7 that can actually help us win a game. And I think if the coaches that are in these young people's lives realize that kid that may never play one down the whole season is just as important as the kid that just might get a D1 scholarship, he deserves a great experience just like this 5-star kid does. If we can get to that, these kids will have a better experience. They'll want to be a part of it. That's all they want. They just want to be a part of something.
I agree with you, Mark, and you know, you said something that really resonated with me and which we're trying to do in youth football in the state of Virginia is redefining what winning is. It's not just about having the more points on the board. You got to redefine that in the youth space. Part of winning should be your kid taking the knowledge that he learned from you and being, you know, having a decent career in high school. You know, that's our goal on the youth level. And in high school, you know, creating an environment where you could possibly get, you know, money for an higher education or taking the skills you learn from football to get a job, whatever the case may be. Also, in 10 years, I'd like to see more continuity and connectedness from the high school from the youth football to high school. Right. You can build a pipeline. You can have the youth football program in your area running the same offense, defense, and special teams so that when that kid gets to high school, you don't have to reteach everything. You know what I mean? Just developing those pipelines so that you can get a better product on the back end.
We can do the organizational piece. That could be cookie cutter like the league is, right? But the mindset, and that's why I ask these questions as something personal here, because when we change the mindset, we can change the outcome of how these young men are seen and how they coach them. I want to thank you guys for this incredible podcast. If we listen together and work together, we can accomplish incredible things. I'm Aeneas Williams. Thanks for listening, and the best is yet to come. Appreciate it, fellas.
To provide feedback or request a topic for discussion, email us at nfllegends@nfl.com.